Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, we invite your call now. 844-322-2742 is the good number in the U.S. and Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about justification in Romans 4, chapter 4, verses 5 through 8 says this: however, to the one who does not work but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. And I love how Paul puts these two words together, justification and forgiveness. I know in my life, you know, I went through all sorts of rituals with trying to get God to forgive me of my sins. I would sin, I would feel guilty, I would pray, I would promise, I would read, but I never had this assurance that my sins had been totally dealt with once and for all. And then I discovered justification. I said, if God has justified me and has declared me to be righteous in his sight and has imputed and imparted his righteousness to me, that has to be proof that my sins have been totally taken away. If he had left one sin, one of my sins unpunished, there could have been no declaration of righteousness. But the fact that he has declared me righteous gives me the assurance that my sins are forgiven. And guys, I really think this is one of these important proofs or evidences that we need to cling to as believers in Christ, knowing that we stand before God as forgiven people, righteous in his sight.
Yeah, it's real interesting, Bob, that we quickly adopt the, you know, the righteousness that's not based on works. We say, oh yeah, I'm righteous by faith. I'm righteous because I believed. But then when it comes to forgiveness, it's almost like we treat that separately. Well, you know, I'm forgiven when I drum up all my sins and go through a ritual. I'm forgiven when I go through a confession series of, you know, apologies to God. And I'm forgiven when I do my part. Well, wait a minute. You were righteous not because of some part that you did. You're righteous because of what Christ did. So how would you be forgiven because of something that you did? It's all the same. It's all the same thought. It's all the same truth. We're righteous as a gift, and we're forgiven as a free gift. We're righteous because of the finished work of Christ, and we're forgiven because of the finished work of Christ. So it's all the same idea. You know, just as you received him, so walk in him. I think we need to wake up every day and walk in this simple reality that I don't add to the work when it comes to my righteousness, and I certainly don't add to the work when it comes to my forgiveness. It is all one big thought that everything is free, given to me by Jesus. And, you know, I just got to get out of this mindset that it's about me and what I'm doing. It's about Christ and what he already did.
Yeah, that is the good news right there. And I love this passage, especially verse 5, where it says, God who justifies the ungodly, or in some translations that's rendered the wicked, God who justifies the wicked. So that gives us hope, doesn't it? And if somebody's out there wallowing in guilt and shame and all of those sort of things, saying, I'm just too far gone, God cannot reach me, let this passage be an encouragement to you. God is reaching out to you right now saying, I want you to believe that Jesus has done it all. I want you to believe that I have raised him from the dead. I want you to believe that, because in believing, you're going to receive this righteousness and forgiveness, and you're going to stand before me as one of my very own. This is good news, folks. This is what the gospel is all about.
And that's what you hear daily on Basic Gospel. You hear the Basic Gospel, and it is good news. Plenty of open lines, though calls are beginning to come in already. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Staten Island, New York, and talk with Vincent. Hi, Vincent. Well, Vincent hung up. We'll go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. I've got to get this straight in my mind. Is the man of lawlessness aiding Satan, or is it Satan?
It would have to be a human being who is aiding Satan. Satan is a spiritual being in the sense that other angels are, and he does his work in this world through other people. And the way Paul describes this in 2 Thessalonians 2 is that this is a person who sets himself up in God's temple and proclaims himself to be God. We already know that Satan, the big complaint with Satan is he wanted to be God, and God said no. So now we've got someone in our world under Satan's control who are making the same claims and bringing this about. Now, we don't know who that is. We know characteristics, but we don't know who that is, and we don't exactly know when he will reveal himself.
Yeah, and, you know, one more thought about that is, you know, we typically equate the man of lawlessness with the Antichrist, but it's really interesting to see that, you know, really that term Antichrist comes from 1 John and 2 John, where
yes.
People were, you know, really anti-Jesus. They were saying that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. They were saying that, you know, sin wasn't real and that Jesus didn't come in the flesh physically. And so there was this spirit or this message of anti-Jesus. And really the man of lawlessness is a totally different topic altogether. You know, some people talk about the Antichrist pretending to be the Messiah. Well, remember that Antichrist would never do that. Antichrist would be anti-Jesus. And so there will be a deceiver that, you know, many Christians will be deceived by. But, you know, that Antichrist thought is really not in the book of Revelation. It's in 1st and 2nd John. And it was really just this false doctrine that Jesus wasn't physical. So, real interesting, you know, we get brought up, guys, and we're taught certain things. And, you know, we come up with certain presuppositions about the Antichrist and the man of lawlessness, and maybe they're the same person and all that business. But really, when it comes down to it, the Antichrist thing was really an ancient heresy about Jesus not being in the flesh.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Hope that helps.
844-322-2742. We have plenty of open lines right now. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to try Vincent again in Staten Island, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Vincent. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
My question is God's love different for believers and non-believers? I'm on the road, so I'm going to hang up and listen. God bless.
Well, God's love is God's love. It's agape love. And his love reached down to us before we knew Christ. It was demonstrated in the cross of Jesus Christ, where you know, he demonstrated his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. In Romans 5:10, it says, we were reconciled while we were enemies. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? We see in 1 Timothy, where Paul shares his story, that God had unbelievable patience toward him, and at a point in time revealed himself to Paul, and Paul received that mercy. So God was acting in love toward Paul even before Paul came to know him, and he extended patience, and that's what we see as the very first aspect of love in the definition of love. Love is patient. And so God demonstrated that love to Paul even before he came to know him, and he demonstrated that love to us even before we came to know him. He demonstrated kindness toward us. He did all of those things toward us before we actually came to know him. So God is love. His agape love is just what pours out of him to believer and unbeliever alike. Those who believe really receive that love and are changed and transformed by it. Those who reject it, they're hardened by it,
yes,
to some degree. So it's the love of God that's being poured out one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, the most famous passage in all of the Bible probably is John 3:16. God so loved the world. It doesn't say God so loved those he liked and didn't love those he didn't like or who didn't like him. He just poured his love out on the whole world, and anyone who will accept it becomes his child. That's a pretty good deal.
Yes, indeed.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher is here, as is Richard Piper. Andrew Farley is joining us. My name is Bob Davis. And again, we welcome you. Open lines, 844-322-2742. Again, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a fantastic trip coming up this February. We're looking forward to it.
The sound of the shofar and Israel beckons you. February 7th through the 18th, 2017, Basic Gospel invites you to join us for the spiritual adventure of a lifetime. 10 days in the Holy Land, the land of the Bible. Remember Mount Carmel, where Elijah battled the prophets of Baal? We'll be there. And the Jezreel Valley, future site of the Battle of Armageddon. We'll boat ride on the Sea of Galilee and hear the scriptures read on the Mount of Beatitudes, just as the followers of Jesus did 2,000 years ago. We'll visit the Jordan Valley in the city of Jerusalem, walking the same paths walked by Jesus and the disciples. From the panoramic view from the Mount of Olives to quiet moments of reflection in the Garden of Gethsemane. Across the Kidron Valley to the house of Caiaphas, we'll stand where Jesus suffered on the scourging floor and walk the Via Dolorosa toward Calvary and the steps of Jesus. It will be the spiritual adventure of a lifetime, and you are invited February 7th through the 18th, 2017. Click the Events tab at basicgospel.net for complete information and registration. Space is limited to 40, and registrations have already begun. So don't delay. Reserve your place today. Again, click Events at basicgospel.net. Let's explore the Holy Land together for the spiritual adventure of a lifetime.
Well, guys, we really are looking forward to that trip to Israel next February. As Bob, you were saying, it's limited to 40 spots. Those spots are filling up. So if you're interested, go to our website, get all the information, sign up as quickly as possible. Exciting news, we will have our tour guide, Abraham Hillel, in studio with us next week on our Monday or Tuesday broadcast. If you listen to him, you're going to hear a man of passion. He is one of the most interesting people I have ever met in my life. I'm really looking forward to reconnecting with him. And he is a true, genuine storyteller. And you will just be amazed with how he helps us really grasp and embrace all that this gospel message is through seeing the sights and visiting those various places in Israel. So come join us next year, February 9th through the 17th. All the information at basicgospel.net.
Just click that Events tab, and all that information is at your fingertips.
Well, let's go to the Bronx and talk with Leah. Hi, Leah. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, is this Pastor Bob?
This is. How are you today?
Good, how are you?
Just doing fantastic. What's on your mind?
Since these big tests, the state tests, have been starting, I've been feeling, like, very sad. It's like, I think it's like a spirit, like, that King Saul had, the evil spirit, but mine is just, like, sadness. Because I'm usually, because I was so excited about the test.
You're usually excited, but not so excited this year?
Yeah.
Are you afraid you might not do too well, or?
I know I'm gonna do well. I feel like I'm gonna pass and I'm gonna do good. So I think it's that. But and if it's not that, I don't know.
Well, you know, we have all these feelings, and they go up and down and all over the place. And, you know, I don't think you have to worry about it being a spirit or anything like King Saul had, because I think you have to remember that when Jesus came into your heart, he said he would protect you and that the evil one cannot touch you. So, you know, our emotions go up and down. You know, I feel good certain days and I feel bad other days, and my emotions change, my feelings change a lot, but that's just my feelings, and it's okay to feel good and then feel bad and then feel good again. But I think, you know, ultimately we just come back to, I've got Jesus in my heart and he's going to protect me from the evil one. So I don't have to wake up and think about spirits or what hurt the King Saul or anything like that. I can just think about Jesus living in my heart and the fact that he protects me. So does that make sense? Does that help you?
Yeah, but tell me what I should do when I feel like this.
Well, you can actually choose some of your own thoughts, right? So you can choose to think something differently. So when fear comes, like, oh, what if I mess up? What if I mess up on this test? Well, you can say, well, even if I mess up, I still have the love of God, and I'm still his child, and I'm still worth the same to him. He still loves me the same. So I'm going to do my best on this test. But this test doesn't make me more loved by God. So God's in my corner, and God is with me, and God is for me, and God is my best friend, and this test doesn't have to scare me. So remember that you can choose your thoughts, and you can say no to certain thoughts, and you can say yes to better thoughts. You don't have to say yes to every thought that comes in your mind. And that's the beauty of having a choice to make every day. So, you know, choose the smart choice. Choose the smart thoughts. And the smart thoughts are, I've got Jesus living in me. He protects me. And no matter how I do on this test, God loves me the same no matter what. Does that help?
Yeah, but what if it's not the test?
Well, it doesn't matter what it is, really. What can stop God from loving you? Nothing. What can stop you from being his child? Nothing. It doesn't matter what the fear is. The answer will always be the same. This thought doesn't have to control me because I'm going to let God's love control me.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Isn't it a thrill when the young ones, their hearts are tender toward the Lord, and they want to do the things of the Lord and turn to him? And wow!
Well, Aaliyah, just as you said, thank you. You know, say thank you to Jesus. I think that's what you can do, and that helps change your thinking. If you're kind of sad, if you start saying thank you to Jesus, thank you that you love me, thank you that you took away my sins, thank you. That nothing can separate me from your love. Those sort of things will help you start feeling better because you're really turning your thoughts back to Jesus. And that's just the best place to have your mind, on Jesus. So, Aaliyah, we sure appreciate you. And you hold the line, and we'd love to send you some things that you can read that would be a big help to you. We have a special lady here that works with us. Her name is Jeannie, and she writes all kinds of great things for kids, and we would like to put some of that stuff in your hands. Would you like that?
Yes, I would love that.
Okay, well, let me put you on hold. Michelle is going to pick up with you and going to talk with you a little bit and find out where we can send this, and I'm so glad you called, and we hope you will call us anytime, okay?
Okay, thank you for, like, the encouraging words and for encouraging me to be happy.
You are so welcome. You hold the line, Aaliyah, and we sure appreciate you and love you, okay? You hang on.
Yes, we do. Okay. Wonderful little voice coming through that phone line.
Yes, it was.
844-322-2742. We do have time on the clock right now. We want to hear from you as well. 844-322-2742. You know, friends, we are here every day getting the word out, and when you partner with Basic Gospel, you become a part of the blessing, the honor, and the privilege of proclaiming Jesus and the reality of his life in us. You know, people seek truth every day, and if you know, you hear truth on Basic Gospel, it's what we do, it's what we're about. And if what you hear on Basic Gospel has made a difference in your life, why, we ask you to share in the blessing by joining us and supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. And with your gift of $20 or more this month, you're going to receive a copy of Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and its companion study guide. All you need to do is click donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or donate by phone at 844-412-2742. Our operator, Billy, is on duty right now. She'd love to hear from you. And again, that number, 844-412-2742. And you can also use PayPal if you're outside the U.S. Make your gift today and keep the good news coming. Guys, a question from John, who listens in Dallas. And he really gets to the point. He says, if we're no longer considered sinners after we accept Christ, why do we still continue to sin?
Well, guys, first, I think, you know, that the premise of the question has to be explained, because unfortunately, you know, most Christians today think of themselves as dirty sinners. And, you know, when you survey how Paul, Peter, James, and John talk about us, they don't really refer to us as sinners. If we're born again, if we're children of God, we're not sinners by nature. We are saints who sometimes sin, and there's a big difference there. Yes, I still commit sins, but I'm a saint. And when Paul writes, he says, you know, to the saints in Rome, to the saints in Corinth, to the saints in Ephesus, this is how he refers to us, as holy people, because that's our new identity. And there is one verse that people kind of go back to. They talk about Paul calling himself the chief of sinners. And so they see, ha, ha, ha. They say, ha, 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 you know, I am still a sinner. See, that verse proves it. And, you know, really, though, Paul was talking about his former life when he was a persecutor of the church. That was before his conversion. So we are, I mean, we are saints. We are children of God. We've got a new nature. But let's face it. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like my attitudes, my mindsets, my thinking, it's still being renewed. There's still a renovation going on there. I still get deceived. I still am tempted. There's the pull of the flesh and the world out there. And all of that has an impact on my thinking and sometimes my choices, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think that's the big thing. We have to realize that this body of ours that we're housed in still has sin living in it. That's not who we are. That's not our identity. But there's still that in our members, as Paul was talking about in Romans 6. And that exerts a huge force trying to pull us away from our walk with Christ. And sometimes it does it in such a way that it seems like that's really who we are, and we have no choice in the matter. And that's where we have to get back to truth and realize that we've not only been freed from the penalty of sin, but we've also been freed from the power of sin. Sin is no longer our master. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we have the opportunity to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to live out His desires in and through us. Now, that's what Paul was talking about when he wrote in Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit. And as you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We go at this backwards. We try to clean up the flesh so that we'll be spiritual. But that's not how Paul wrote it. We're to walk in the Spirit, to live out who we are as believers in Christ. I love how he put it in Ephesians chapter 5. We were once darkness, now we're light in the Lord. Live as children of light. So as we learn to live as children of light, walk in the Spirit, then we will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Yeah.
That's how we deal with those temptations and those things that continue to tug at us to move us away from who we are in Christ.
John, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone, as we've said many times, when we're actually on the air live, we encourage you to drop us an email. You can address us at bob@basicgospel.net. We'll be just delighted to hear from you and to address your question on a later edition of the broadcast. Again, that's bob@basicgospel.net. Also, as always, want to continue to encourage you, if you've not yet done so, to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. All you have to do is click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page of the website, and you can stay in contact with Basic Gospel. Well, that's our time for today, everybody. So for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition. I hope you'll join us then. Bye-bye.